Hi, I'm Streaky. This is Metropolis Mastering. That is Shay.
All right.
And he's at his home studio. This is podcast number one of the Streaky Audio Engineering podcast. And today we're going to be discussing audio manufacturers and why they make plugins of their own gear rather than just making more of their own gear. I think that's it, isn't it, Shay?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's why aren't hardware manufacturers, like high-end hardware manufacturers, going down the route of modeling their own gear to output plugins of their own gear instead of using another third-party company, such as like UAD or someone like that, to model it for them. They have the equipment already, do you know what I mean? And I'm sure they'd be able to get sort of a team together to model their equipment, a developer, and make plugins of their own.
I don't know if you can, though, because it's really expensive to do, to get somebody to model it and to build it and to market it, rather than doing a deal with someone and putting it through their machine so that off it goes and they, you know, all they have to do is just sign an agreement and it's job done. And they're getting a nice cut every time that someone buys the bit of kit, you know, the UAD plugin or whatever.
Oh yeah, I can understand that, but I mean, it would cost a lot of money in the start, but once it's done, it's done. Like, once the plugin's done, it's just binary code. They're just giving out download links, or like sending download links that you'd have to buy to get the plugin, rather than still having people that you have to pay, a staff that you have to pay to be building these units all the time. Like, it would, in the long run, it would probably cost more money to have all these things built, and more people would be their plugins or their equipment would be more accessible to more people if they did plug-in versions of it. So in the long run, they'd probably end up making more money from it.
I've done a couple of demos of hardware versus plugins. I did the Bax and I've done the Sontek. And Bax was quite close. Sontek, they were quite close, but they're just not as 3D and not as nice as the original.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're never going to get bang on to analog gear, otherwise that would just render analog gear completely obsolete anymore. Do you know what I mean? If you can get something that was completely bang on and worked exactly the same way an analog piece of gear did, then no one would buy analog gear anymore. There'd be no real need for it because you'd be able to get the exact result out of a plugin. But I do think, like we were talking before about like the Massolec gear, like if Massolec were to bring out software plugins versions of their own gear, I would guarantee I would buy them. There's no doubt about it. I would definitely buy them because you know it's going to be a fraction of the price and you know it's going to be as close as possible to
I have spoken to Leif about this and he's of the opinion that, when I spoke to him, I thought that the UAD Precision Mastering stuff was copies of his gear because they've got like a 4-band EQ and things like that. It looks quite similar. I think some of the frequencies are the same, so as soon as I had a look at it, I was thinking, oh, hello, they've obviously done what everybody wants.
Tucked him in, yeah.
But he sort of was a bit like, oh well, you know, but he's of the opinion of, why would you build your own, why would he do plugins, because he's not going to get the sound the same as he gets from his hardware, so why would he want to do that? Because he's compromising his hardware then, because people are going to think that's how his hardware sounds, where it doesn't, you know. And he's really into digital gear, as in Vice stuff and like high-end digital hardware. He thinks they're doing something, but I think it's more the fact that he appreciates that they're making hardware, so it's like doing analog stuff. It's a different sound to a plugin, it's a different sound to an analog piece of gear. It's got its own vibe. You use it for different things. You know, Tim here only uses, if something comes in digitally, i.e. not on tape, which I guess is probably most tracks, he always works digitally. So, but he's working on Vice. I mean, I've got Z-Syst EQs in digital, Vice stuff, TC Electronics. So it's all kind of hardware digital stuff. He's using plugins for limiting, but not using plugins for anything else. So it's a kind of different vibe, and that's where Massolec is. You know, they're saying, well, if you want to use digital stuff, you should be using hardware.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just makes it more accessible. Like, it's I can understand trying to stay true to the brand and it's all high end and it's hardware and stuff, but as far as getting it out to more people and making it a bit more, like I said, accessible to the everyday kind of person that wants to get a really nice sound and can't afford maybe £5,000 for a mid-side EQ or something, but they can afford maybe £200 for the plugin version of it, knowing there's going to be differences. But if 10 people bought the plugin, that's one person, do you know what I mean, buying a £2,000 EQ.
Yeah, but are you ever going to convert somebody from the plugin to buy the hardware?
I think you've got more of a chance of doing that, yeah, because if you're it gives them a taster. Yeah, because it gives them a taster. It's like if you give someone a free preview, like any plugin nowadays or software, you get like a 14-day trial or something. And like with UAD, they give you every single plugin in their catalogue, you get a 14-day trial for. And they know full well you're going to try and use it. And they know that you're going to use it on a session that, I mean, no one does a session professionally that's done for 2 weeks and then doesn't have to come back to it at a later date to make some changes. Even if it's not just changes, it's just different edits that they have to send back. If you haven't bought that plugin, after 14 days, it won't work anymore. Yeah, so yeah. You then need to buy that plugin.
They've got
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. They've got you where they want you. And it's I think it's the same sort of way with if hardware manufacturers bought plugins out, and just to say like a 7-day or 14-day free trial, because of the name of the hardware, you're going to want to have the plugin version of it, knowing that it's come from that company, because it's going to have some sort of reputation straight away. You're going to trust that it's a good modeling because it's the company themselves that are bringing it out. And then once you've used it a couple of times, you'll be like, oh, okay, I kind of need it. You buy the plugin. And then once you've got the plugin going, you maybe think, okay, I want the hardware version, and you save up for the hardware version rather than looking in the KMR catalog or something and seeing like,
but do you reckon, I love that EQ. Do you think that people do though? I think someone thinks, well, it's all right. Like, do I want to spend £3,000, £4,000 on an EQ? It's all right. It's close, isn't it? It's close enough for what
I
want.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, so, but then still, you've already bought the plugin, so you've already spent what, £150, £200 on the plugin. Like I said, if 10 people do that, that's the equivalent of one person buying a £2,000 hardware piece of equipment. When, in real actual fact, there's not that many people that can just go and chuck £2,000.
And you've only done it once. So from a total cash point of view, if that's what you're into, then yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you're selling it all around the world, 24/7. You're going to sell 1,000 plugins. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if someone like Leif Masses wouldn't be up for that, because he's so purist that he wants just the sound. He only wants hardware out there. He doesn't want his software out there. Saying that next week, one will probably come out, Masselect. but as far as I know, he's not going to. I mean,
but it's like the company Brainworks, their EQ that was just phenomenal amounts of money.
Yeah, but no one's ever seen a real one in real life.
I know, yeah, true. I've seen videos of one at a trade show, which was like someone's iPhone recording. But yeah. No one's going. No one is. Now UAD have got a version of it. Do you know what I mean? They're modeling it. So to make it more accessible to a lot more people, and you know, it's not going to sound bang on to the original, but it's going to be close. And there's a lot more people that now have the Brainworks like digital V2 or V3 plugin than people that have bought the hardware version.
Yeah.
But, do you know what I mean? They probably made more money.
What came first, the hardware or the software in that case? Because on that bit of kit, do you know what I mean? Because they probably built one unit. Is there anything actually in the box?
Yeah.
Has anyone actually used
it? My opinion's probably a lot different because I use a lot more plugins.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. It could just be a complete myth. But because we're from different ends of it, like I use a lot more plugins. And because I'm producing a lot of stuff, and as well as mixing stuff, I've used a lot more plugin stuff than you would use plugins, for instance. Do you know what I mean? You probably use, what, one or two plugins if you have to.
Yeah.
Whereas I use 90% plugins and a couple of bits of gear on the the output stage or like the mix bus stage. That's all I go for hardware wise. So my opinion is probably just give me the plugin version of it.
Yeah. And you're never going to buy the hardware version.
Probably not. No. Well, no, not probably. Definitely not. If there's a plugin version of it, I'm going to get the plugin version. And knowing that it's come from the manufacturer that makes the hardware themselves, not trusting a third party to model it for them and then do their own stuff and market it in their own way. It's like if Manly brought out a Lamb plugin that was Manly and not UAD, I'd pick the Manly one over the UAD one.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that I know that it's come straight from the manufacturer and they're not going to hinder or sort of tarnish their brand and their reputation by putting something out that they are not 100% happy with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like bringing it out with a third party like UAD or another one, you've got sort of, if it's not bang on, you could, from Manly's point of view, say something like, oh, well, do you know what I mean? It wasn't us that did it. It was, do you know what I mean? It's a collaboration. So you can't expect it to be perfect.
Do you, when you're in the studio, because obviously with what I do with mastering hardware is the way forward. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, when I see people's studios and they've got nothing but a laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see why that works. But do you think that some people have to buy the hardware just for the blag?
Yes, yeah. Like we did a video about it, like all the gear, no idea.
Yeah,
just they have a few bits to get. Like you probably see in the video in this rack. This is my only rack. There's like what, 1, 2, 3 bits in there, and an audio interface. That's it. That's all my hardware. Like other than synthesizers and stuff, but hardware wise, I've got 2 EQs and a compressor, and that's. I don't need anything else. Like there's no need for me to need it. Like they're versatile as they are. Anything else I can do in the box. To me, hardware is able to make quick changes. If I'm at home and I want to make a quick change, I can't because then I've got to come back to the studio to do it because it's hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, totally. Recall-wise, it works. I mean, my stuff's all precision, so I can recall it. And I can't get a sound. I just can't get a sound from plugins, even when I've tried the plugin versions of the kit I've got. Although most of it, as I say, is Masselect. But, you know, when I've tried to do various stuff with different, you know, with people who say, oh, you should try this EQ, that EQ, I just can't get the same sound. I can't get the same depth.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe that'll change. But I don't know. I've kind of, personally, I don't think people should make software versions of their hardware. I think they should come out with original products rather than just copying somebody else's. But that's because I like hardware, and you're the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I do love hardware. It's not a case of I don't like it. I do like it. I just know that it's more of a faff and more of a hindrance to creativity. But that's because I'm coming at it from a different angle. Like if I was just coming at it from a straight mastering angle, I would have as much analog gear as I possibly could that I would need, you know what I mean? Not excess stuff, but because I'm sort of producing stuff and mixing stuff, I want to be able to do it really quick. Like if I'm on a journey somewhere, if I go on a train journey, I can get my laptop out and make a quick change somehow to something. And obviously I'm not going to carry about a flight case full of analog gear that I can plug into on my laptop. Do you know what I mean?
Old school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Disagreed, but agreed to disagree, I think.
All right. Well, that's podcast number one.
Yep. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. We're just testing in the waters. We'll probably get other people in as well to do some interviews and we'll chat to them and see what they're up to. If you've got anybody you want us to speak to, then put it in the comments and let us know. So thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. And we'll speak to you next time. Thank you. Bye.
See you later.